From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome to the program. The Reverend Andrew Patterson is letting the Bible speak today from Mark's Gospel chapter 6 and words in verse 20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. But just before the Lord's servant comes with the Lord's message, let's listen to these words in song.
Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what Thou art. I'm finding out the greatness of Thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon Thee, and Thy beauty fills my soul. For by Thy transforming power, Thou hast made me Thy loving kindness, vast, broader than the sea. Oh, marvelous Thy goodness, lavished all on me. Yes, I rest in Thee, beloved. No, what wealth of grace is Thine! Know Thy certainty, a promise, and have made it mine. Simply trusting Thee, Lord Jesus, I behold Thee as Thou art, and Thy love so pure, so changeless, satisfies my heart, satisfies its deepest longings, meets, supplies its every need, compasseth me round with blessings. Thine is love indeed. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what Thou art. I am finding out the greatness of Thy loving heart.
Hello there, folks. Good morning to you again. And turning to Mark chapter 6, I want to read the words of verse 20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. The Gospel of Mark is often referred to as the Gospel of the Servant, because in this quick-moving Gospel account, the Saviour is seen as always busy. He is portrayed as Jehovah's servant. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And in the opening words of the book, we are introduced almost immediately to his forerunner, John the Baptist, and the one whom the Saviour spoke of as a burning and a shining light. And what we know of his ministry, we must say appropriately so, for he was a faithful servant. but within just another five chapters, which brings us to the passage we have read this morning, we are given the detail that the ministry of John the Baptist is over. His life was brought to an untimely end after what can only be described as a shameful and immoral birthday party. The daughter of Herod's mistress was to dance before him seductively, and the outcome of which was that he offered to give her up to half of his kingdom. While the girl didn't know what to request, her mother did. It was the head of John the Baptist on a plate. No doubt Herod, looking back on that eventful night, could try as best he knew how to wash his hands of his death. It wasn't he that used the sword. There was pressure born in him. He couldn't go back on his word before the invited guests. It was a set of circumstances that he had been forced into. Surely the responsibility of the guilt wasn't solely upon his shoulders. He just got on with his life. It was until a while later, when it was noised abroad of what was happening in the land. Those possessed of devils were being delivered. Those who were sick were being healed. The preaching of the word was with power and authority. For Christ, having chosen the 12, was to send them forth with such power. And while others said it was Elijah or some other prophet, for Herod, his conscience being awakened, was convinced otherwise. Verse 14 says, "And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." Now suddenly there's no mention of Herodias, or of her daughter, or of the circumstances of that fateful night. Herod is left to say, "It's John whom I beheaded." No wonder then that Herod was troubled. His hands were dripping with the blood of the man of God. Dear listener, you may not have innocent blood on your hands this morning, but it is very possible that you're just like Herod in another way. He often heard the gospel preached to his soul, and yet he did nothing about it. Herod had been confronted with the preaching of John the Baptist, and it seems that he had met this man of God and forerunner of Christ on more than one occasion. And like Stephen and the Apostle Paul, John wasn't afraid to tell the message as it was, no matter who stood before him as his congregation. To the people of Judea and Jerusalem, he preached to them the need for repentance and remission of sins. John the Baptist was no modernist who was afraid to preach against sin. And that is abundantly clear in this passage, which speaks of that time when he stood before King Herod and was to preach unto him. He told him straight that he was an adulterer. You look at the words of verse 18, "For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." John understood the sin that Herod revelled in, and seeing the sin and immorality being openly paraded in the palace, he preached against it before the face of the king. What was the effect of such preaching? Herodias, after hearing his preaching, was to have a quarrel against him. Verse 19. "Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not." You'll notice how the margin of the Bible renders that word "a quarrel." It is a grudge. She was to have a grudge against the preacher from that day forward. No doubt Herodias was also to vent her anger against the man of God before Herod as well. "How dare he speak to me like that? Who does he think he is?" This was more than just a raised voice for a minute or two. The sense of the word is that she was furious. We would say she had it in for John from that day. Her fury was never to let up against the man of God because of how he had exposed her sin and spoke against their immoral relationship. That rage and anger waited for an opportunity whereby she could get her revenge by his death. If Herodias had anything to do with it, then his death would have been sooner rather than later. But we read that she could not, for Herod was to prevent it. The king had listened to John the Baptist's strong preaching, and he was to recognize that he was a man of God. John held the mirror of God's word before him, which showed him that he was a filthy sinner. He had felt the sharpness of the old sword, and Herod was to recognize that John was a preacher of righteousness. Indeed, the words of our text in verse 20 state that he knew he was a just and an holy man. In other words, he saw in John a righteous man, a man who displayed a saintly character, and one who was dead to sin but alive unto God, a man who was speaking the truth to his soul. And because of that, Herod sought that he would hear him on other occasions. For that reason, Herod was to observe him, and the sense is that he was to keep him from the evil plots of Herodias, who was seeking to kill him. We could say that Herod was to show a certain amount of reverence and respect toward the preacher. He held him in high esteem, even though he was the object of his strong preaching. He He was brought to recognize that he was a vile sinner who needed the Saviour. Aye, he even feared him, knowing that he was God's man who preached down sin and preached up the need of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. John's whole business was to preach of Christ. That is why he said in another time, he must increase, but I must decrease. And if there was ever a man who needed to turn from his sin and who needed Christ, then it was King Herod. And can I say, dear unsaved soul this morning, under the sound of my voice, it's very possible for you to love to go to the house of God where the gospel is preached, and preached in a manner where the word of God is expounded, and you're left in no doubt over your state before God. It's possible for you to have respect, reverence for the house of the Lord, and for God's word been preached. It's even possible for you to be engaged in helping God's people, and for you to have a reverence and even love for the preacher who would stand in the pulpit. And that has been so for countless years on end, and yet you yourself are still not saved. You are yet in your sin. You could do all those things, and yet be a sinner in the depths of your sin, and on your way to a Christless eternity. It may even be that the preacher, on occasions, unknowingly to him, has exposed your sin, and as God's word was preached to your heart, it has cut into the deepest recesses of your soul. You have been brought to recognize that you're a vile, guilty sinner before a just and a holy God. You might have said, someone has told the preacher about me, but my dear friend, I want you to understand that that is not the case. That is God's Spirit speaking to you, and that is the Spirit of the Lord striving with you, even in your sinful state. My dear loved one, what you need to recognize this morning is that salvation is not of works. It is not found in being respectful and being in the house of the Lord on a regular basis. It is not even merely in hearing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the cross of Calvary. But salvation is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ himself and in him alone. The one whom John the Baptist was faithful to preach up and appoint the people to when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world." I would, dear loved one, that you would be troubled because of your sin this morning, and that you would recognize that one day you will have to stand before the same Christ of whom we preach. And I forewarn you of that in the words of Luke chapter 12 and verse 5. "But I forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say to you, fear him." I trust even this morning that you will have that reverential fear of the Lord. You might fall down before God in repentance of your sin and cry out to him for mercy and to save you and to wash you in his precious blood. Thank God he has said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Do remember to join us next time as we further let the Bible speak. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.